We're speaking now with Dr. Becky Meyer. She is superintendent of schools for the Lake Pendere School District. Dr. Meyer, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us, Chris.
And we also have with us the new community relations coordinator, Shelby Strews.
Yes, okay. Yeah, Shelby Strews. Thank you.
I was taking a guess at your pronunciation,
you did really
your last name there. Shelby, thank you for coming in. And kind of the big topic for us to get into today is the Student Safety Summit. It's coming up a week from today as this airs. That's going to be Wednesday, April 15th. And we want to dig in on that in some detail in just a moment. But Shelby, because you're brand new, tell us a little bit about yourself. Introduce yourself to the community and then tell us a bit about your role as community relations coordinator.
Sure. Yeah. So my family just recently moved here from Moscow. I grew up in Alaska and went to the University of Idaho, where I met my husband. We moved here for his job.
Go Vandals.
He's a wildland firefighter, and we have a two-year-old son. So we're just so excited to be here. We've had our eye on Sandpoint for a really long time. We love all of the outdoor recreation that's available in the area. And I just recently started working for the school district as the community relations coordinator. So I have an awesome job of sharing the incredible stories of all the things that are happening in the schools.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm going to take a wild guess that part of that is helping draft the loop, the monthly newsletter.
Yeah, so I do the newsletter, social media, some YouTube, website updates, kind of any kind of avenue or channel where we can try and connect with people and let them know about what's going on.
Okay. And if you don't already subscribe to The Loop, you can go to the website, lposd.org. And there's a spot there on the website that you can sign up for that. It's really a lot of great information. In fact, some of the stuff we're talking about today is stuff I gleaned from that newsletter. Mm-hmm. So it's a great way to stay up on what's happening in the school district. Don't have to be a parent. Just anybody that's interested can subscribe to that. So let's get into the Student Safety Summit. Again, that's coming up on Wednesday, April 15th. And basically, anybody is invited to that. That's parents, caregivers, mentors, anyone who supports youth in our community is invited to this summit. And this isn't the first year you've done it. So Dr. Becky, why don't you tell us more about what the Student Safety Summit is?
Well, this is our third annual one. We created it so that we would parents, it's a parent awareness forum. We've done social media, we've done the black web, the dark web, we've done fentanyl, we've done other issues. Last year, we did have, unfortunately, a very sad, tragic student die by suicide at the end of last year. And we had mental health therapists from town saying that they would offer to help us with some parent awareness and some help and support for our families in the community. And as you said, this is for any age parents. You could have small kids, big kids, no kids, just interested in this on how you can help support students in the community. So this year's focus is student mental health and well-being and suicide awareness. So we're going to have some breakout sessions that will talk about some tips, things to be aware of, things to be on the lookout, ways that you can help support, ways that the students can be supported at school, partnership between parent and home, some signs and symptoms. We also have this year, which is a new thing that we're going to offer, is a faith-based, supporting your child through a faith-based lens. So we're having a breakout session that some youth pastors are going to be there to be able to help families that want to be able to talk to their students through that faith-based, their own children through the faith-based lens. And then the school counselors will be there as well. So we have really a lot of diversity to be able to support parents and give them a lot of information in this area. I think it's a vital time with how much social media is going around and some of the things we've talked about in the Student Safety Summits the past few years. I do want to remind folks we have free childcare. So if you have young kids, we have free childcare, and we are providing, thank you to Kinnexu Health and Bonner Health, General Health, both have provided, are donating to provide free dinner for folks. So you can come right after work. It starts at 5:30. It's at Sandpoint High School in the Commons area. And then we'll have a quick little introduction and then the program. So you can come and get some some free food and be able to have your kids taken care of in a safe environment and learn some really helpful information for parents.
Mm-hmm. So this is to help parents or anybody that works with youth to identify kids that may be struggling and might be having a suicidal tendency.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Could be that. It could be isolation. You know, the statistics last year we did the Anxious Generation at the Student Safety Summit. And there was a lot of statistics for teenagers with loneliness, isolation, depression. So it's not just suicide. It could just be mental health, some mental well-being. Are they balanced and are they getting enough energy outside? Are they on their devices too much? Do they still have social interactions? There's just a lot of different things as parents nowadays that we didn't deal with, you know, Chris, when our kids were young, that the parents nowadays are dealing with. And I think just being able to hear this information and network with other parents will be helpful for parents nowadays,
mm-hmm.
caregivers, even grandparents for sure.
Yeah. Of course, that particular age group, particularly I think high school age, when kids are, they're subject to a lot of different mm-hmm. Conflicting messages out in society, among their own peer groups. Is this, and they can also run into some hard times from other students.
Right.
Does the Safety Summit deal with issues of bullying or those sorts of issues?
Yeah, those kind of things will be covered with the school counselors. They'll be able to talk about that. I also do want to say, unfortunately, it's not just high school students that have some of the mental health and well-being and really being able to help your child balance all the different variables going on nowadays. There's just a lot, like I said, stimulus going on. And so for parents, even with young kids, younger and younger students have either access to cell phones or to the internet or to just different contradicting things. You know, you used to have your kids go outside and play and that was it. But there is a lot of different things going on for parents to try to decipher, like how much do I let my child be watching TV or be onto the internet or with social media. And sometimes some of this stuff is going on. And parents just need to be able to hear from some of the experts on what's healthy and what are ways that you can help make sure that you're setting up boundaries for your child that are healthy and making sure that they do have a really good centered well-being.
Mm-hmm.
So any age students, yeah. Really.
And that can be really tough going for parents trying to regulate that phone time mm-hmm. or social media time, mm-hmm. Especially when your kids' peers have more mm-hmm. access than your kids might or you want your kids to have. Is there a district, I know there is, but tell us a little bit about the district policy on cell phones and social media.
Well, they're not allowed at elementary school. In middle level, they're in the backpacks and they don't come out during the day, but they do have them in the backpacks. There is some incentives once in a while at some of the middle school level where they earn at lunchtime, they may earn a few minutes on it. At certain houses, they have different fun little healthy competitions with the houses at Sandpoint Middle School, for instance. And then at Sandpoint High School, Clark Fork, and LPO, the new district policy that went into effect last year that the board approved was they are only used before school, passing periods, and lunch, and after school, but not at all during class periods anymore. And so that was a big change from before. And so far, the feedback has been really positive from staff, parents, and from the students.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's been there was a few kind of hiccups right at first, you know, and some pushing back. But I think now students have even said, like, we appreciate the boundaries and that we don't have to be on our phones when our peers are. So now it's really helping with that for students as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I imagine that previously the kids felt like they had to be there because they were getting messages from their friends, and by putting those boundaries on, it kind of relieves that a little bit of anxiety right there.
Yes.
So, okay, well, This is the Student Safety Summit. It's next Wednesday, April 15th. And again, it's 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Sandpoint High Commons. Everybody is invited to that. Parents, caregivers, mentors, anyone working with youth. Is there anything else you want to... Oh, there's going to be a dinner at that?
Free dinner.
Okay. There you go.
Free dinner and even gluten-free if they have that. And cookies.
Sometimes entice them with cookies.
And cookies and a free dinner and free childcare. Mm-hmm. So families that have young kids, this is designed for you as well. We're also talking about protective factors, like how to start young and protecting well-being protective factors to help young families, young parents as well. And reminding you also, there's a supporting your child through a faith-based lens breakout session as well. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a great evening, and I really hope a lot of the community folks show up for it.
The faith-based lens session, so that will you have like pastors there?
Yeah, we have two youth pastors that'll be there, and they'll be doing a short presentation and then asking for questions too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, that's next Wednesday, April 15th, the Student Safety Summit. And you can see more about that, I presume, on the website, lposd.org, if you want to get some additional details on that. Don't have to sign up.
Nope.
Just show up.
Yep.
Yeah. And?
Come at 5 to get some free food.
And there's free food, too.
Yep.
Yeah. So come at 5 for that, and then the presentation will start at 5:30. Well, let's talk about a few other things. And I gleaned a really neat statistic out of the Loop newsletter that you send out, that the 2024-25 graduation rate had jumped up 5% from the previous year. So last year, our graduation rate was 91.2% compared to 86.2% for the 23-24 school year. And I guess the question would be, what do you attribute that to? Shelby, you want to jump in on that?
Yeah.
Any ideas?
Well, I definitely know the statistics of it. With being so new to the position, I don't know that I could answer exactly what to attribute it to.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mind taking on that one,
yeah.
Dr. Meyer?
Well, I attribute it to they made a real focus. You can see where it went up the most percentage was at Lake Ponderay High School. And you can see that they really focus there on the mission of the district, every student, every day. And they made sure every single student that they grasped onto them and made sure they graduated. So the graduation rate went up significantly at LPOHS, which helped the overall. But it also stayed high at Clark Fork and went up a little bit also at Sandpoint High School. And I attribute it to the work of the teachers, the counselors, and the administrators at each of the schools, just really making sure that students do not fall through the crack, and what do they need to be successful to make it to the finish line. Like, they've really focused on that the last couple of years. We had worked with the board, and I think you know this, Chris, that the board, one of the board's three goals is to increase graduation rate. That was, the first one was one trusted adult, second one is graduation rate, and the third with math and reading goals. But this graduation rate is something the board 2 years ago with the strategic plan said we really want this to increase. And so I attribute it to the board's focus and mm-hmm. then our staff and, you know, parent support, but really working on making sure those kids have what it takes.
As they come in to their last year of high school, is it possible for them to course correct? So they've fallen behind possibly in mm-hmm. previous years. Can there be a big focus on that last year to help kids get caught up?
100%.
Mm-hmm.
100%. They can. We have several avenues to do it. Sometimes they can stay right at their school that they're at, and they maybe drop some of their electives and work on some of the core classes they need to and double up. That can happen. They can choose to go to Lake Ponderay High School, and they have there on a 4x block, so it's a different school structure, and they can get more credits there. They can do the Clark Fork online program. Some students, that's the best way for them to do it, and they do a mastery-based program. So there's lots of different ways that we can help students get to that finish line within their senior year.
Mm-hmm. One thing that occurred to me when I saw that statistic, I thought 5%, that's a pretty big jump.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, are there big movements in the graduation rate year to year? I mean, does it vary because some classes have kids that are just more motivated? I, would seem to be human nature that that'd be true.
There could be, but in my experience, I think that it keeps continuing to go up. Unless you're a very small school, like a Clark Fork High School, one student could make a huge difference to go from 80% up to 100% graduation rate for one student from Clark Fork High School. So, hats off to Clark Fork and to LPOHS for their really working with every single student, because it makes a huge difference at that size of school.
At this time of the year, with the school year, end of the school year coming up in a couple months, how does it look? Can you make a judgment kind of in process?
No, I would say that we always have positive. Our principals report back that, it's looking good. We have people right on track, and we have these last couple that we're working with, but they're really hopeful people. The principals are always positive, thinking that they're going to get 100% is really what their goal is. Mm-hmm. So right now it is, according to them, it's looking good.
All right. Optimism.
Optimism.
Got to have that. Well, that's probably can be a good segue to a topic that's causing some questions. I'd say heartache in the community, and that's relocating the Lake Pendere Alternative High School away from the historic Lincoln School on Boyer Avenue to a new campus that would be located adjacent to the middle school on Division Street. And this particular decision has been circulating real widely on social media, I'll tell you that, because I've seen a lot of posts about it. And I think what I glean from social media is that, first of all, it's a source of misinformation. That a lot of folks are thinking that means that the alternative high school is closing. But to be clear, the alternative high school is not closing. We're talking about a plan to move it from its current campus to a new location. So I guess it might be helpful for some folks to dig in on this a little bit by asking, what is the alternative high school? And what is the need for it distinct from regular Sandpoint High School?
Well, that's a great question, and I know that I worked at Lake Pendere High School, was the principal there for 4 years, and some folks might not know this, but you can't just make a choice to attend the alternative high school. You must qualify by law. So there are parameters in the law, and there's several, I'm not going to take up time to go through all of them, but there's several parameters, some of which could be behind in credits and behind in attendance and two or more years behind in graduation. You could have a serious emotional disturbance. You could be on probation. So there's different qualifications. And so you can't just say, well, I want to go to the alternative school. You have to legally qualify. And that's the principal to be able to do that. So it's designed to help students at risk for graduation, which is what we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. So that's what the overall theory of designing an alternative school program is. Now, having worked there and then worked with the alternative school for 30 some years, it really is the success of the alternative school is based on the relationships. It's based on the family feel. It's a small enough to where it becomes a family. The staff truly, truly cares about each and every child. I mean, we would spend hours every week talking about each and every single student and what we could do to help support them in their family system, their social system, and maybe the legal system, academically, socially, emotionally, whatever we needed to do to help support. Sometimes just the basic necessities of survival of food, shelter, water, everything we could do. The staff there is to support that student. It becomes a family. We used to have family meetings. There weren't assemblies. It was family meetings. And it really does truly become a family. So the entire alternative school is built around that. And that's what makes it successful, honestly. You were correct. We are not. There's been no decision whatsoever at all about the building, which I know people have said that they thought it was being sold to a development, or the historic building was being sold or something. That is a board decision, and the board does not have that on the agenda and has not made any decisions about that at all. the alternative school enrollment, which is a positive. Other schools are doing, and students are being very successful at Sandpoint High School, Clark Fork High School, and the enrollment has just been going down. We did a board presentation, which if folks want to see the facts presented, they can certainly go on our website and see that, or they can go to the alternative web. We have a frequently asked question and they can see the board presentation with all the facts, but we have an enrollment trend and it just keeps going down to where, you know, projected enrollment next year will be 45 to 50 students. And so we cannot have all the amount of teachers that we have now. So there will not be able to be electives for the students. So we have to allow students to have electives because you need them to graduate. You can't just have core classes. And also we want equal opportunity. We want the alternative school students to be able to use CTEC, the welding, the residential carpentry, culinary arts. We want them to be have
CTEC being career technical
education center. Yes. Yep. And offerings. And if they want to be able to take theater or American Sign Language or art or any class that they want to, we want them to be able to take any elective that they want. So this is a win-win. The students still will have their own campus. They still will have their own identity, their own culture. Right now, they have a brick and mortar school with portables. They will stay there next year because the location that they're going to move to is being used during the construction of the Sandpoint Middle School. So still 1 year out, they will be missing some instructional time by being bused back and forth for some electives.
Which is what happens right now with the kids at the old Lincoln School.
Yeah, if they do take electives now. But when they're over on a separate campus where they're behind Sandpoint Middle School over by the Pine Street field area.
That's the new campus.
Yeah, they will be moving into an area that has a brick and mortar with some portables, the same they are now. It is not the same historic building, but it is still a brick and mortar school, and they will have some say in designing and how that looks. And then they'll have the opportunity to be able to have a full schedule, have all the opportunities that all the other students do in our district, and be able to fulfill graduation requirements while maintaining a schedule where they're not bussing back and forth for 10 minutes to and from and each day for the classes.
So the new campus, which is going to be, as you mentioned, I think a little bit just slightly north of the middle school, as I see it on the map.
Like right before you go down, you know where the driver's old driver's ed building was, and then behind there, and they're doing some renovations and
Is the old driver's ed building the building that they'll utilize?
Yep. Okay. And then with some renovations, they're adding this summer some new bathrooms and doing some updates and things to it.
Okay, and that will give access to career technical classes, particularly with the new career technical center that's going up right now and is going to open up this coming school year, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. 26-27 school year. Okay, well, so I know some people are unhappy with the decision. But what are the next steps at this point with the decision to move the campus? Is that decision's been made?
Yeah, next year, like I said, next year they'll stay on the current campus and we'll have to have a big yellow bus go back and forth, which will lose some instructional time for those periods, but we will be taking them back and forth for those. And then the following year, they'll move on and they'll be helping to work on designing and creating their own culture and climate with the help of their current staff. And they'll be moving into that then the next year so that they'll be able to walk to any elective option they want in that following school year, which is the 27-28 school year.
Mm-hmm. The 27-28, right. Okay. Because 26-27, those still be in the old Lincoln School.
Yeah.
Okay, and you mentioned there is a web page. It's got a frequently asked questions, and there's a video there as well.
Yeah, on the Lake Pend'Oreille Alternative High School website, which is lp.lpoSD.org, we've added a relocation FAQs page to the top menu. And we've also linked an excerpt from the last board meeting where they went into detail about the facts of the relocation. And there's just some really good information on there to kind of help clear up any of the misinformation that's out there or any confusion that people might feel. And then at the bottom, it does have some instructions or, you know, an option for how to get in touch to share feedback, or if people have additional questions that they would like maybe added to this page, we'd love to hear those questions and be able to address them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's again lp.lposd.org, or I imagine if you just go to lposd.org, the homepage, there's a link off to it.
Yeah, on the regular lposd.org page, you can find that under updates and insights, mm-hmm. another link to that.
Okay, thank you, Shelby. Mm-hmm. Well, let's turn to another topic here, and I gleaned this again out of the Loop newsletter. Very useful for us that like to do interviews, I'll say, to see the things that are going on, because there's always a ton going on in the schools. But Sandpoint High School students and Coach Becky, is it Haig?
Yep.
They won the state academic decathlon championship for the whole state for the 8th consecutive year. So they were. Sandpoint was state champions among all the schools in Idaho, which mm-hmm. is just kind of remarkable to me. Why don't you tell us what the academic decathlon is, and then what's the secret sauce here that we keep winning?
It is unbelievable. I think people are becoming just like expectant that we're always going to win, but it is a huge undertaking. Back when I was the Sandpoint High School principal, Chris, I helped judge interviews, and it was incredible. They have like a 5-inch binder. They're probably electronic now, but at the time they were one of those big, huge 3-ring 5-inch binders, and it'd be pick some topic, and they would have to learn everything about the topic. They'd be studying it all year long. There's like a super quiz, and they have to have a math one, they have a writing one. It is like being on a debate team on steroids. It's like doing the SAT and trivia quiz and writing essay. It's just like an interview and doing a prepared speech by memory all in one day for a competition. It's unbelievable how difficult it is and the amount of information they have to have in their brain. It's incredible.
How big do the teams tend to be? How many kids?
I think they're about 12, maybe. Okay. It could be smaller, bigger, but I think it depends how many get fully prepared at Sandpoint High School to go on. But it did start with Mary Bird, and I was the principal when she taught that period, and she spent a lot of time preparing those kids. And then Donna Stockman did it, and now Becky Haig is doing it. And so a lot of credit to those, to the teachers who they sometimes call the coaches, but just a lot of credit to them and how much they work with on their own hours outside of school hours working with students, and a lot of travel. They have to do a lot of fundraising. PAEF does support ACADECA.
It's the Panhandle Alliance for Education.
Yep. Panhandle Alliance for Education supports them and buys their materials every year that I've been here. They have done that, which is a nice financial very helpful for ACADECA as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the village is behind it.
Yes.
So the one thing that was also interesting to me is Sandpoint High School not only won the state, but took second nationally in our division. Nationally. Yeah. And we had a bunch of kids that won individual gold and silver medals.
I know.
So that's.
I would encourage anyone in the community, if you've never seen it before, there's about three meets, sometimes four, during the school year in preparation to get ready for state. And they have meets here where other schools come at Sandpoint High School. They're always looking for adults to be the graders, where you can listen to an interview and grade them. You can see a speech and grade it. You can be into grading some of the math or the English or the. So I would encourage you, if you have any interest in learning more about it, to be contacting Sandpoint High School and volunteer on a Saturday. You would be amazed at what you find out. You'd be amazed. Mm-hmm. I did that, and I became so enamored with the program.
Yeah, and it covers math, English, all kinds of topics,
yes,
science
trivia,
topics. Yeah. So
incredible.
Yeah, Well, kudos to our Sandpoint High academic decathlon members. Well, another topic here. So in March, the school district trustee for Zone 2, Jalen Peters, he resigned as he was moving out of the district. And so the district now has until early June to fill that position. And for Zone 2 is that area which is south of the Pendere River, west of Highway 95 and south of Sago, basically encompassing Kokalala.
Mm-hmm. Southside
School is there. And so what's the process now to fill that vacancy?
Well, the applications are open still now. When they go to the board meeting, then they'll take the applications and do interviews, and the board will make a decision if they're going to appoint somebody or not. They just recently did that with one of the zones last year when Geraldine, board chair,
oh, right.
Geraldine Lewis,
mm-hmm.
came off, and Trustee Demers was had an interview with somebody else, and they board voted and appointed him. So going through that same process now.
Mm-hmm. And that seat, I think Jalen was elected just last November, so mm-hmm. that seat, that appointment will be through a 4-year term.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if there's anybody listening out there that lives in that district, that area, then you could take a look at, again, at lposd.org and see more about that.
Yep.
And a final thing on my list was tell us a little bit about the Career Technical Education Center that's looking pretty darn good out there. We're new construction right next to the high school. Yeah.
Yep. So it's slated to be done this summer, so hopefully June or July. We do have, we're going to nail down the date soon, and you'll get a save the date out in the press. But we are going to have a grand opening once students are back. We want to do it once the students are there, and you can feel the energy of the kids back in the building. So we'll do that in September, hopefully, right in the first part of September. Mm-hmm. We'll do that. But the residential carpentry program will be up and running. We'll have, which... PAFE, as you know, Panhandle Alliance for Education, helped fund that to get that going, that whole program up and running. We do have diversified health occupations. The Rotary has helped with that. They did the...
As if kids want to go into nursing, for
instance. Nursing,
yeah.
Or doctor, mm-hmm. or anything in medical. We also have a physical therapy and rehab services that's linked with that as well, which is a different teacher. Leah Smith does that. Kristen Day does the diversified health. And Rotary has done their annual golf tournament for the last couple of years, and they're helped funding some of the equipment and tools, beds for those programs. So that's been helpful to have them.
Mm-hmm. Residential carpentry. How about is welding one of the classes?
Welding's mm-hmm. there. They're going to maintain their current location. The welding is, mm-hmm. but the A+ certification in computer science and looking at technology, that's expanding out into CTEC. Also, we have do want to thank Kiwanis has got helping us with a four-post. They call it a four-post where you lift up cars for our automotive program, mm-hmm. that's going to be opening within the next year after that, and they've already helped fund for that. So that will be another CTEC program, Career Technical Education Center program, an automotive program will be coming as well. And we have graphic arts, we have drafting, architecture, and then a brand new commercial culinary arts program will be opening mm-hmm. with CTEC mid-year next year. Mm-hmm. So a lot of fun things on the horizon.
And a lot of these fields are the places where the most mm-hmm. employment opportunities exist, especially to come into this world of AI, right? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes, we have computer business. Yep. We have teachers for that too, and digital literacy. They are also doing that. So there's quite a diversity of electives. CTE, Career Technical Education, hands-on learning for kids in this CTEC. It's going to be real helpful, a real boon for our local economy, I think, to be able to have students prepared and ready to go right to the workforce.
Okay, well, Dr. Becky Meyer or Shelby Struz, anything you guys want to add?
Maybe just a reminder about I know we highlighted it
yes.
heavily at the beginning of the Student Safety Summit. I really can't overemphasize how important that'll be for people to show up for that
and
on Wednesday.
Next Wednesday, mm-hmm. April 15th at 5:30 to 7 p.m. Come at 5 and have some eats too.
Yeah.
At the Sandpoint High School Commons.
Mm. Yes. So great. Mm-hmm. And thanks again for having us, Chris. Yeah. Love to talk about the school district.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming in.